You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good evening. Good evening, church. Good evening. I'm very excited to have the opportunity to share again with you this evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jamie. I'm married to Hope, who's on the front row there. And I kind of cover all things student around the church. So give me a whoop if you're a student. Okay, we've got at least some of us, which is good for a freshers' night. We'd hope there'd be some of us here. So on that note, I do want to welcome you again. If you are a new student, if you're a new fresher that's joining us, welcome. We hope you find home here and you find a family here, genuinely. And for those who are coming back again for another year of university, welcome back. We've missed you. We've had no evening services over the whole of the summer, which has been really restful. But it's been boring. And so we're back. And this term, we are excited to be delving into a series on the kingdom. And so that will span our morning services and our evening services as well. So in the mornings, we will be delving into the nature of this kingdom with some in-depth talks. And in the evenings, we're going to be going through some parables. And parables are short stories with a powerful but hidden meaning behind them. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And so each week we'll be journeying through a different parable, and today we are starting in Matthew 13:44. One verse, one parable, and that's what we're rooted in tonight. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, would you turn them on? Would you flip in them? Or you can look at the screen behind me and the passage will be up. It's Matthew 13:44. And it says that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And for some context here, Jesus has just left the crowd he was teaching. He's come inside to a nearby house with his disciples, and his disciples are confused by his previous parable, and so they're asking for some deeper explanation. And so Jesus is giving this explanation with a whole series more of parables to elaborate on the idea of the kingdom of God. And so we're looking at one of these, sandwiched right in the middle there. And thankfully, we've narrowly escaped talking through the blazing furnace and gnashing of teeth, which was two verses prior and nine verses after this one. And so we're going to save that one for later in the term when somebody else is preaching. So good luck. And so in our story, we see a man who finds something of such incredible value that he immediately buries it again to keep it safe. He goes and sells all he had to have enough money to go and purchase his field. He knew the worth of the treasure immediately, and I want to suggest tonight that the Holy Spirit has the ability and desires to reveal the kingdom of God to us. A kingdom so powerful and inexpressibly good that when we catch a glimpse of it, of the glory of God, we're struck by something greater than anything we've ever known. I like to think of it like God coming and looking at me struggle to cycle up a hill on my bike with my broken gear system and with my flat tires, him seeing that pretty sore sight, I'll be real, and him hand-delivering me the next day a 25-plate electric car, one of those ones where you just even go near it, it detects your presence, it opens the door for you. It starts the car, it heats the seat, it puts your favorite soundtrack on, one of those. And he hand delivers it and says, hey, well, now you've got this car, can I just take that old bike off you? And I go, well, yeah, of course you can take that old bike. You can take the old one in the shed as well. In fact, you can have anything you want if that's the offer. It's not just something marginally better, like a bike with working gears, that would be good, and I would like that. So if you've got one, let me know. Or one with working, not flat tires. It is something a whole world better. And the best bit is, I don't even drive yet. So I don't know what I'd do with it. I know, shocking, I know, but there's no shame in the house of the Lord. And you know what he'd do with my license? He'd trade it in. He'd take my green provisional license and he'd trade it for a nice new pink purple proper one. And I know it's a silly anecdote, but it's so similar to how the kingdom of God works. He takes us in our unqualified state. He calls us out and he qualifies us as sons and daughters by his grace alone. ready to receive the gift that he's given us. So it's for you if you're stuck in sin. It's for you if you're tired and fed up with church. It's for you if you feel inadequate this evening. His offer is for you today. It's not like a reluctant, half outstretched hand. No, instead, Jesus says in Luke 12, 32, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Not that he had to, that he's been pleased to give you his kingdom. And as residents in his kingdom, we are trading in our sins. We're trading in all that we've done, thought, or said that's fallen short of the glory of God, that is imperfect, for a clean slate where we take on a new identity and a new position as children of God, no longer trapped in guilt or fear or shame, but alive again, living with purpose and power in his kingdom. So church, I hope this evening we've not fallen asleep to just how valuable Jesus is. I know I've done this so many times before. So as I share, can I just ask us that we would let ourselves be won over again? That would let ourselves get excited about Jesus? Wouldn't that be an amazing evening if we were won over again, if our hearts were won over again by Jesus today? And so if this is all new to you as well, I'd love to invite you to jump in and do just the same. It's no different. That together, as Hebrews puts it, we'd boldly approach the throne of grace and we'd hold God to his word. That like he says in this parable, when we catch a glimpse of this treasure, the king and his kingdom, everything else would fall to the wayside and we would be overcome with true joy and with full surrender. That we would be in awe again of Jesus. I remember being at Naturally Supernatural. It's this Christian family conference, and we were doing some kids' work. We were me and a couple mates, trying to handle 200 5 to 7-year-olds. I have so much respect. I'm a secondary school teacher. I could go nowhere near primary school teaching or anything below. That would terrify me. And we were tired and worn out. And we were wandering along the back of this main meeting venue. And we just heard from the front, this meeting that had been running over by about 40 minutes. We heard them worshiping on a random Wednesday in the middle of August, this old Christmas song, O Come Let Us Adore Him. And overcome, we looked at each other, no words, dropped everything we had, and just walked up to worship. It was like an overwhelming, overpowering invitation by the awe of Jesus to come and get involved. And that's what he's got tonight here for us. And I wish I could describe that feeling that I felt then, but I can vividly remember it. It's one that leaves us with no other viable option. A glimpse of the glory of God puts everything else into its rightful place. The awe and power of God is shown in places where he reigns, where his kingdom is. And here, weariness is overcome. Those in burnout are revived. The sleepy are awakened. The destitute are restored and the lost are brought home. And I'm sure we all identify with one of those states right now. This is the treasure in the field. This is the kingdom of God and it's available to us right now. Jesus time and time again refers to the kingdom being at hand, coming near, being in our midst. It's not for when you die only, though that will be when we see his kingdom and glory in its fullness. Actually, he has given us the keys to enter in even now. And I love how 1 Peter chapter 1 puts it. It says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we believe and as we trust in Jesus, we are currently being rewarded with the end result of our faith. The end result, eternity with Jesus. The fullness of the kingdom of God, wholeness, and where all things are made new again. And he gives us a measure of this reality even now. So we can see people set free. We can see people healed. We can see people made whole again as we decide to step out and say yes in obedience to Jesus and his call. We can actually see his kingdom start to break in our midst, as Jesus puts it. And like John said in our morning service today, he said so many, both Christian and non-Christian, want the kingdom. the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, but they don't want the king. But kingdoms belong to their kings. And so who the king is in your life and my life determines whose kingdom it is that you're living in. And so how do we place Jesus as king? That's our question. Well, I want to suggest that we better start clearing the throne out. You see, the man went and he sold all that he had. Not because God has required an entry fee to his kingdom. No, that fee has been paid in full by Jesus on the cross. It's done. But he looks at the heart, what our allegiance is really to. What takes up our attention, our time, and yes, even our finances. Whatever is the object of our attention slowly becomes the object of our worship. And it reigns, whether we want it to or not. And so the man sees the treasure. And what does he do? He just starts clearing out the throne room. All the things which he's worked to build and save for, all laid down. Jesus is not a God who will share a throne. He's jealous for us, which is amazing news, right? That the King of all, entirely good, endlessly graceful, miraculously powerful, Jesus who knows you inside and out, would love to come and bring you home again and into wholeness. And to do this, we have to move everything else aside and make that room for him to come in and to reign. So for us tonight, I just want to challenge us, and it's been challenging me. I want to ask some questions, and I want to start with, is it all laid down? And I find a really useful question to ask myself has been, if Jesus wants it, can he actually have it? So I'll ask you the same question. If Jesus wants it, can he have it? Not going off and selling your house or your car immediately and having no transportation or nowhere to sleep tonight. Not quite. But if he wanted you to do it, would you? And as if that isn't enough, notice the manner in which the man in our parable goes. He doesn't go grumbling or sad. He goes with joy. To go and sell everything he has, he goes with a joyful spirit. But we can only go there, we can only enter this kingdom because Jesus has gone before us. Not by any of our merit, not by anything that we've done or we've said or how good we are. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Which means Jesus, our perfect model of surrender, has paved the way. He's took on our guilt, he's took on our shame, all wrongdoing, and giving up his life on that cross so that we might come to him and we might live. So now he invites us to come and receive his kingdom, to come and join him with thanksgiving and take on our identity as fully seen, fully known, fully loved children. That's his joy, that we would come and receive everything he's paid for. And so for some of us here tonight, it's the first time we're hearing that actually there's a different story. There's an alternative reality to the one which I've been told and the one I'm living in. There's one with true life and freedom. And I remember when Hope and I were doing marriage prep, we so confidently thought that we would carve our own way and we would be our own people and we would be so different from our parents. Not for any other reason, they're great. Apart from we thought that inherently we were just quite different from them. But what we've noticed is that we're so similar to our parents in ways that we can't even describe. Almost like a steady current is pulling us into their likeness, from reactions to how we serve to how we act in social situations. It all mimics where we come from. And I want to suggest that that's how it is with the world. You know, we're born into a story that slowly pulls us in. And it's so easy for us to keep going along that trajectory. But when we realize we're actually in a current, we're actually in a stream, we have the opportunity to turn around and swim. And that's how it will be for some of us today. We're realizing, actually, there's an alternative story. There's another way to do this life. Like the man seeing the treasure. And he was awakened to the reality that there was something so much greater than he'd ever known, and it was worth everything he'd ever got. And so he turned and chose it over all else. Like us encountering Jesus and being truly sold out for his kingdom, when we hear this other story, I wonder what's our response this evening? Very early on into knowing Jesus, Nations was placed on my heart. And I even brought it up on Mine and Hope's First Date, which is not dating advice. Don't do that. But I said, just so you know, I think the Lord has Nations work he wants to do with me at some point. I don't know what it looks like, but I want you to know that I might need to lay down everything and just go. Is that something you'd ever consider? And again, that's definitely extreme. That's definitely not dating advice. If you start a first date like that, it's probably not going to get to a second. And so it was something heavy on my heart. And we still feel this call to nations, but now we do so together. And more recently, we felt a strong call to a specific place. And we went to our pastors. We told head teachers. We applied for jobs in different countries. We took job interviews. We got in touch with friends in this place. We laid down again our vision for a house here in Hull. And after going through the stress and the internal work in our hearts to sell what we had, a full peace returned to us about staying in Hull, one we'd both not felt in a long time, which is so confusing because we'd pretty much sold. We were pretty much on the way in our minds to leaving, packing up, and going. But you see, Jesus had just been asking us that same question that I've been asking you tonight, that if he wants it, can he have it? He was just inviting us to clear out the throne room. He'd been testing and preparing us, and we still don't know what for. He still hasn't shown us what he might want to do. But we're glad because we know that if he did, we would lose that intimacy of daily asking him about what he's doing, about how he's moving, about who he's created us to be, and nothing is worth losing that daily intimacy. His desire is to draw us close and reign, not as a distant king, not as one far away, but as a close, personal savior. And so we've been filled with even more joy actually staying in Hull, and we've been filled with more security than we had before, because even more of our lives are able to be laid down before Jesus. And we know we've got plenty more that we need to surrender. But he didn't throw it away, everything that we gave. He took it, he blessed it, and he actually gave it back to us in his mercy. With Hope and I, Hope's work situation went actually from good to even better. I'd been holding off on job applications in Hull until we had a piece about staying. And I was one of, if not the last teacher trainee to apply for a job full stop. And within a week, the Lord had given me one, which was far better than I'd ever asked or imagined. A house hadn't entered our minds since we laid down the idea before him. But we felt him place it on our hearts again. And simultaneously, and so we went to each other one evening and we told each other about it. And within a week, a deposit had sprung up out of nowhere. And we're now in the process of completing on a house. And we don't have a frame of reference for any of that at all. So don't come to us for job application tips or house buying advice. We're young and we have no idea what we're doing. But it turns out that our best bet at obedience, with so much failure along the way, it covers all those things that we can't do. And so we say that knowing that daily we've got to come to God. We've got to be asking for forgiveness for our disobedience and where we've fallen short. Life isn't pretty when us as struggling, sinful people get involved. But life to its full is found in laying down to Christ, selling what we have, giving our vision of life over to him. Obedience to Jesus, it makes us come alive. And I can confidently say that as we've walked with Jesus day by day and year by year, we have felt this joy increase. And if only we could have seen that in hindsight from the start, it would have helped us avoid so many of our mistakes as well. And I say that tonight because I realize there are so many of us who are here and we're starting out and we're starting to carve our own way at uni. It's really daunting though, starting a new life, starting a new way and coming to a new city. And it's really scary. I remember my first freshers week, I was pretty much overcome with how I was being perceived. That thought about what should I wear, how should I act, with a bit of a shaky identity that was entirely built on me. It consumed me. And maybe that's you here today, and if you're being honest, fear's just taken over your mind. Well, it's an opportunity to lay that down before Jesus. That's all part of clearing out the throne room for him to come and enter in. And so where there's confusion and fear, Jesus would love to come in with his kingdom of security and of peace. Maybe some of you are running away from parents. If you're being really honest, their perceptions of you or being labeled as their son or daughter. This evening, why not try on a new identity? One with a father who is good, who has your back, who loves you and wants to give you life to the full. What an incredible sight it would be to see students and young adults rise up, being firmly rooted and sold out for Jesus. And so this evening, would you start as you mean to go on? Everything laid down. Because in the kingdom of God, there's everything to gain and absolutely nothing to lose.
Thank you for listening to the Hove Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hovevineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church. Go to hovevineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.